Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I welcome you to the first episode of the Punkdemic Podcast. MC Johnny T, and I'm joined by the hostess with the mostest, the CEO, the owner, the Queen Bee of Punkdemic LLC, lovely Amazon.
Hey.
All right. And we are joined by special guest, a good friend of mine, person I've had a chance to work with well and grown a good relationship with over the years. I know him as my man, 50 Gram, with the mic in the hand. But a lot of you guys might know him as Positive K, recording artist and comedian extraordinaire. Thanks for coming through and hanging out with us today, Paz. Appreciate it.
Hey, man, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Man, you don't know what I went through to get you here. Oh, my God. You can tell him. Go ahead.
It was lengthy. It was locked.
That's right. The intro here, man.
The word is harassment.
Hey, so, man, what's been going on with you, man? What's happened in the world of Positive K? Let's get people caught up on what's going on out there with you.
Been around the world and man, you know.
I'm out here
fighting the power, man. You know what I'm saying? The power's that beat. You know, still making the music, doing that, still performing. A little tired coming up there, 50 years of hip hop. It really kind of wore me out. They tried to kill me like Rick James out there. You know, all these damn shows, you know. It was definitely slave labor. But I had fun, man, seeing a lot of people. You know, it was real cool. But if I see Mr. Cheeks one more time, just one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. But we did a lot of shows together, man, 50 years of hip-hop. It was great seeing a lot of people, man, and seeing a lot of my old partners I came up with. So it was all right.
So over 50 years of hip-hop, do you feel that the type of shows that were done out there truly encompassed all of what's been presented in hip hop over 50 years? Do you think that there's some artists out there who didn't get any of that shine that should have?
Oh, definitely, man. They missed a whole lot. I know cats on the West Coast was really tight. They weren't a part. They got, I wouldn't say excluded, but they got the usual suspects. Every city got the usual suspects, like New York has the regular Dougie, the MC Light, the Big Daddy Kane. You know, you're going to always see that. They have the staples, you know, and West Coast, you'll see Snoop, you'll see Ice Cube, you know. But I really wanted to see a lot of my unsung heroes out there. Like, I wanted to see some more King T. I wanted to see that, you know, big shout out to him. I wanted to see some Mellow Man Ace, you know. I even wanted to see, like, you know, I wanted to see a Frost. You know, I wanted to see him rock. You know, even some Egyptian Love, you could have got that going on. I haven't seen that until, you know. But they left out a lot of people, man. And, you know, and I think they was kind of overwhelmed getting everything together 50 years of hip-hop. So I think they did the best they could do. But, you know, maybe on the next celebration still, they'll bring a lot more people in. Like in New York, they left a lot of the unsung heroes, like a lot of the pioneers out. You know, I didn't see Busy B at a lot of shows, you know. I wanted to see, like, the Mighty Mike Masters, you know. I wanted to see a little bit more Milk D, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of the underground cats, you know, King Sun. I wish they had a lot more people that had been present, you know.
Nice.
That was a good question.
Amazon, take it away, Amazon.
Oh my God, you're gonna trust me? No. Okay, so I have a billion questions. We don't have a lot of time. The main thing on my mind right now, and I'll probably go back and forth, how did you get from MC Extraordinaire to stand-up comedian? Like, how did that transition go? Like, you just woke up one day and was like, I'm funny as hell. Like, how did you decide that's what you wanted to do?
That's exactly what happened. I woke up one day and said, funny as hell.
You can't use my answer.
it was a process, you know. It's coming up on those tour buses, you know, Big Daddy Kane and Jay-Z and all them guys and Scoob Lover and Scrap Lover and everybody just snapping on everybody. you know, and getting, you know, developing a thick skin and low fat time and messing with those dudes. And then MC Light was the one who said, you know, it'd be a travesty if you just, if you didn't do some comedy, it'd be a travesty. You know, so I was like, you know, she dared me to write some jokes. I went and I did it, and then she dared me to say them. And I was like, you out your mind. I'm not going on stage saying no jokes, you know.
Right, right.
But I went and I did it. And for a long time, it was rough because, you know, my rap ego wouldn't let me, you know, suffer defeat. You know what I'm saying? So going up there and, like, you know, and people looking at you, it's different than you jumping on stage and playing a hot record. You know, so it's a lot to get used to, but I did it, and I made the transition. But you don't come out unscathed doing comedy. You gonna eat a biscuit. You gonna eat a biscuit. Mm-hmm. Either way you go. I ate a biscuit not too long ago, matter of fact. So eating a biscuit is necessary. It's gonna happen. It clears the throat. And if you don't know what I mean by eating a biscuit, it means bombing. You know, you got levels of bombs now. You know, you got the bomb. People look at you like, huh? You know, you got the bomb. You got the grumble bomb. You got the bomb where people just start getting up and walking away. Like, hey, let me get that drink. You know, get these wings. You want these wings right now? Be right back. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so, let me get another drink.
yeah. You see, you got levels of eating a biscuit, but a biscuit's a biscuit, man. But it's good to let you know that, hey, I need to go back and do some stuff, tighten up on something, or you know, maybe you just wasn't going over your material enough, which will go often happens to me. Get a little cocky sometime after a show, and you're like, oh, I got it. And I had a case of that for a minute until you get into a certain room, you know, and you get to a certain room, you're like, I got these guys, and then you do what you did in the last room, and it don't work, and the next thing you know, you find yourself just right there in deep water. And you know where to go, baby. you got to swim to shore, you know, because you're too far out now. You know, you can't turn back. You know, you can't jump off. So you gotta push on through. And pushing through makes you better comedian. When you stay there, you power on through your set.
So who are some comedians that you absolutely love? Like, I have my list, but I'm not a comedian. I think I'm funny, but I'm not a comedian. Like, who do you love?
You know, I go back to when it, you know, I mean, hey, yeah, the greats, you know, the Red Fox, the Richard Pryor, you know, Bill Cosby, since he came out of jail, I like him again, you know. I like the new guy, Sebastian Maniscalco. I think he's hilarious.
I love him. I think he's great. You know, I love Maniscalco him.
Sebastian Maniscalco is crazy. Patrice O'Neill, God bless his soul. I thought he was hilarious. That's kind of like my lane where I'm at. So I kind of like Patrice O'Neill. A lot of the guys I got right now, Mark Henderson, you know, the OGs, Rodney Perry, Zooman Miller, you know, my boy D'Amico Henderson, and a couple of females named Sunshine and Shima Franklin. Very funny people, you know. Got the boys from Harlem Smokey Suarez and Comedian Wu. A lot of guys out here, man. There's some real good comedians that's really doing it and digging in.
What about somebody you've actually, like, been on the stage with or whatever?
I've been on stage with a lot of people, you know. A talented comedian. I like talent. Like I said, I just recently did a show with Smokey Suarez and Comedian Wu. So those guys are really... They're kind of like cutting edge right now. It's like that New York City Harlem comedy. You know, they come in with straight energy. They come in like rappers. You know, so they're real dope. But yeah, man. I mean, it's a long list. There's a million comedians. You know, there's a million Snake Johnson. You know, you got a lot of cats out here, man, that are just really like doing it and really funny guys, man. And you can go on for days and name comedians. It's very competitive, and there's real funny people that are out here.
Well, I want to say, I think the thing that I like about you the most, besides the fact that you're hilarious, because I met you in person and I laughed the whole time, right? And I wasn't even there for you to be funny. You were supposed to be rhyming, but you were funny, right? You've been doing this, and I'm not calling you old because you're a very young man. But you've been doing this for a minute, right? And there's a lot of people that come out, they have their hits, and that's it. And they stop, right? And they fall off. but you've been going at this for years and you're still like, I'm a comedian and then I'm gonna get on my plane and I'm gonna go over here and do some music and I'm over here. Like, what keeps you going? What keeps you sustainable? Like, how are you able just to keep going and evolving as a as an artist? Like, I really appreciate it. I'm fascinated by it. Like, a lot of people just be like, well, I'm done. Yeah, I'm gonna go fishing. Well, and they're done, right?
Well, I thank God for my publishing deal. That's a wonderful thing to keep you, keeps the lights on, you know what I'm saying? I haven't had to drive Uber yet, so it's okay. You know what I'm saying? You know, and not insulting anybody who drives Uber, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, you know, publishing deal is good, and it keeps me afloat. And the main thing is that I do it for me, you know what I'm saying? I make these songs for me. And I mean, JT will tell you, you know, I got songs that I released like 7, 8, 9 years later, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's time. He's like, yeah, I feel it too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like I'm just checking out brand new hits like right now, but I might listen to a song that I did a while back and be like, you know what? It's time to drop that right now. I feel if we drop this right now, it'll hit the right pocket. And that's what I've been doing. So, you know, it's, I guess just time is catching up and everything's happening for a reason. But like I said, you know, comedy is it's a ever going thing. It's you have to give into it every day. It's like speaking Spanish. If you're learning it, you gotta speak it every day. Or you, the next day you're like, you know. So the bottom line is you gotta do it every day, man. Kind of, you know, I get on stage 3 or 4 times a week and you gotta exercise, you know, so. And I've been slipping with that a little bit later. I got to get better with that, because the more stage time you do, the better you definitely get.
You know what? Who clowns us is this man right here, Johnny. Listen, that fool has meetings with me on the treadmill. He'd be like, "Hold on a second, drink him some water," and be like, "You got 15 minutes. I got 3 more miles to go." Like, he's so dedicated. He keeps me motivated. You know, I think that's another thing too. Like, your circle and who you surround yourself with, who you deal with on a regular. I think that matters too, as far as keeping you going. He'll be like, "I'm on my elliptical." I'm like, "I didn't do nothing today." You know what I mean? I'll hang up the phone with him and go for a walk, you know? So I think that.
Yeah, I commend him. His transformation's incredible. I watched it happen in front of my face. You know, I watched him go from doughboy to doughboy.
Right?
You know? So he's been doing it, you know. I mean, I was smaller than him when we first met. Now, So, definitely, man, it's transformation. I commend him for that, and I need to get there too, man. You know, but you know, we get a little worried sometimes. You got to go back and charge the battery, and you know, eat some cheesecake. And,
cheesecake.
Everybody,
that sounds good.
Need some time to refocus and get back together.
You know, one thing.
Can I have some cheesecake?
One thing about it, I'm definitely not walking on water, man. Super Bowl weekend, the diet was atrocious, bro. Like, yo, I was standing in the mirror, ashamed of myself on Monday morning. So, I mean, I try to make more decent decisions more days than not, but. You know, give yourself a little permission to have grace, and you know, don't nobody want to drink the green machine every day.
Hell no, not on Super Bowl Sunday.
Especially on Super Bowl, which I mean, I feel like it's just the unsung hero of holidays. I feel like everybody should get that Monday off after Super Bowl. Period.
Most definitely, man. I think it's like your birthday and New Year's Eve. Everything else, you know, is you know. Your birthday, New Year's Eve, and the Super Bowl. I mean, you need that. You need that. Yeah.
Who are you? I saw you for New Year's. I saw you with your little tux on.
The side chicks get all star weekend. They need that.
No.
You saw him on New Year's and what now?
He had his little tuxedo on with your black tux, looking all handsome and whatnot. That was cool.
Were you in New
York?
Had my little wrap front and stint thing going on, you know.
Uh-huh. That was good.
Yeah, okay. I was down in New York. I was up there with the GOAT and those guys at Times Square, Ryan Seacrest and all of them. So I was down there, and then I had an engagement I had to do that wasn't too far from there. But definitely Times Square with the ball drop. Never did it all my life in New York City. Never did it. And it was one of the most enjoyable experiences because I'm like, wow, I'm just standing in the middle of the Times Square, you know? And I mean, having the all-access pass helped a lot. You know what I'm saying? You didn't have to be in the whole crowd. But it was nice to stand there, man, and watch the ball drop and be like, wow, you know, I've never done this before. And I had a chance to do it. So it was great. It was wonderful.
Oh, that was something new for you. Something new for you. Definitely. I've never been. I have never hung out in New York to this day. I'm supposed to be getting out there soon. How did you end up where you're at now from New York?
Parent got sick, you know, I'm a caregiver on top of everything, you know, and I just know I couldn't do it in New York City. I tried South Carolina, but seems like South Carolina is the land that Tom forgot, and I couldn't do it there either. So my only option was either go another part of the Carolina or come on down to the Georgia area. And that's where I'm at now, with the Georgia area. So I came here, and it was great. It's been beach, New York City. I mean, you can park your car. You know what I'm saying?
So, right. And they won't take it. Put a boot on it, right?
They better believe it, man. You know, people in New York get off at 9 o'clock or get upstairs at 12:30. You know, that's
how that works. I didn't run it past you if I could bring up the whole thing with TMZ or not. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm cool with it.
What happened?
They had made an announcement that one of the Furious Five, and that's Flash Fear Five, had stabbed somebody. It was an attempt murder. Matter of fact, it was fatal. The guy actually died.
What?
Yeah, the guy actually died. What they did is that they went and they showed the picture that it wasn't him. It wasn't Kid Creole. It was actually me. You know, so they showed my picture, and I was like, well, okay. You know, somebody's bringing me on my phone like, hey, you stabbed somebody? You know? I definitely had them days where I thought that could. But no, that wasn't that day. You know, so that was a little stressful, a little fallout. Family members got a little concerned and worried, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking over my shoulder like I'm on the run, you know, so it kind of shook me up a bit, you know, but they worked it out. TMZ apologized and, you know, everything went back to normal.
I was gonna say that must have been nutty to have your phone ringing, and people like, "What'd you do? What'd you do?"
Yeah, no, it was great. Not to mention there was a terrible picture they used. You know,
you were going through something. Were you going through something during that phase with the afro? What was happening at that time?
I thought I was losing my hair, so I was just like, "I'm gonna try and go out of my back."
What are you talking about? This man's afro.
Come
leave
on,
his afro alone. That's not nice.
Paz knows so that I'm not trying to be mean or malicious, but I mean, he's always a smooth and dapper rapper. I'm not trying to say that the afro was not shaped the right way and that it wasn't beautiful. But I'm not positive K to hold that face.
It looked like really just one afro puff. That's what it looked like. Just one.
Damn.
So listen. the skills that pay the bills, okay? Legendary album, and I'm not going to ask the regular questions that you probably get about that album. I'm going to ask fanboy questions because I was a fan when it came out, and I bought the cassette singles. That goes to show how you went with that. Did you get a chance to pick the singles that were off the album, or did you have to go along with whatever they went with?
I was just churning them out. It was one after another, and I got to the point like I can't write no more. And that was it. It was I was under the gun. They were asking me how soon I get the album in, and you know, I got my budget and bought my, you know, got my office space and then built my studio. So that took up a lot of time, you know. And then they were like, hey, you need that album right then and there. So I just like stayed in the studio. I was like living there, and I was just churning out a song and doing it just as fast as I could, and there was no order and there was no nothing. I just know that everything I did had a different style to it. I knew that much, you know. Each individual record was a different record, you know. So that was one distinct thing that you can kind of like notice. But yeah, I just tried them out one after another. There was no necessary lineup. It was just how I felt that day.
Do you feel that there was a song on the album that should have been a single that didn't come out as a single? Like, if you could go back and maybe pick another song to be the follow-up or to be the first one?
I was always most partial to. There's two songs I loved on that album, and that was "It's All Over," you know, and the song called "Shaking." I thought "Shaking" should have actually dropped "Shaking" as a single, but I mean, everybody wanted me to chase the "I Got a Man," you know, so I had to go back, and there were no other songs on the album like "I Got a Man," so I had to go and make "Car Hoppers," and we put that, and they added it back on. You know, and then they put it on as a single and added it back to the album, you know. But I had to go make Carl Hoppers because, like I said, everything on the song was different. There was nothing that was similar or alike.
Okay. So with Carl Hoppers, because I know the original version of it had a slightly different feel than when you came back and did the remake with the Best of My Love.
Oh, the original Carl Hoppers was insane. That was Harlem. That was Harlem all day long. I made that, man, one night. And we did that one night when I just got it almost finished. And I jumped in the car, put the windows down, and I was just riding around. And I ran into Funkmaster Flex, matter of fact. We all had some mutual friends. And I was playing to see what he thought of it. He was like, yo, give me that to me now. So I gave it to him, and I swear the next day he was bumping it like every other day. I was like, you got to go on the album. You can't really play it. But he was rocking, and I was like, oh, that's all of them. It was all of them. It was all of them. He just had to be there to kind of get that.
So, Shaking, that would have been the one for you to run with if you had the chance
to. If I had a chance to go back and do it again, I probably would have did Shaking.
Shaking was hard. What about Life After Skills That Pay the Bills? I know you did a series of independent releases. Mr. Gigliano.
Yeah, Mr. Gigliano, How You Living with MOP. A lot of songs, independently. And I did the Beavis and the Butthead thing before that, you know. So, which I love that record, you know. I was a little upset they didn't make the full cartoon out of me with the Beavis and Butthead, but they did use little bits and snippets of it. And they just did something with them because I did the song and I was one of the last recordings on there. And they went and got Share. And they made Share with the last recording. So they said, hey, we'll put the two 12-inches, the two records together. So they made like one big 12-inch, you know, with me and Share. So, you know, you play the record, we're just running the Share song. So it was kind of dope that I got to be in the company with Share. So... That Beavis and Butthead record was fun. Plus, it was funky, you know. And I got a chance to work with Nile Rodgers. That was incredible. So.
That's dope.
What about Black Cinderella?
Oh, why'd you do it?
Oh, Black Cinderella was a dope song. You know,
no, I'm saying he beat me to it. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
After that one, I'm done. After this one, the show is yours, Amazon.
No, you did. It's just you beat me to the punch.
Hindsight is 2020, and I look back, I said, damn. You know, I make so many mistakes with that record. Man. It's I did the song with Teddy Riley. But I did the song with some underground cats, and it was really funky. It was really funky joint. Fuck with my cousin LG was a part. It was kind of funny where it was at. I had a friend of mine who was down with R. Kelly at the time, my man Dre, who was part of Public Announcement. I had him sing on, you know, just to kind of reference it out for me. And it was a dope record. And then I took it over to Teddy, because I thought Teddy could really do a job with it, because I know I'm going computer love. Anybody's going to play that, you know, anybody's going to do that. You got to get Teddy or you got to get Roger Troutman.
Right.
And Teddy was the only man to stand it. So but I went and got Teddy. And then Teddy told me, he was like, hey, man, you know, I was working on the song. He was like, yo, man, you should change the title, man. I'm just looking for my Cinderella, you know. But, you know, things are like, you know, You had Indian Ari talking about brown skin. Everybody, you know, it was like the Afrocentric thing was really moving, and I was like, nah, I'm looking for my black Cinderella, you know. And I stuck my ground with that, and I was like, I think I, you know, but I look back now and I said, I should have changed it just as the Cinderella made it more of a universal song. You know, I shouldn't have did that. And then they wanted Chauncey, he wanted Chauncey from Black Street to put on the record. And I was like, and then Mark Spark did a mix for me. And when I was doing the mix, I went in the studio. Anthony Hamilton was there when he was just coming up. And he was like, yo, man, let me get on this, man. Let me sing it. Let me bring it on for you. I'm like, I already got my boy on there, you know. And Dre's a good singer. But, you know, I think at that point in time, going up against Chauncey and Anthony Hamilton, you know, that was a lot of pressure. I should have put some guy. I could just let all three of them just rip on there and did that, you know. But I look back, I said, man, I made so many mistakes with that record, man. You know, I really did. But I had a chance. I had the chance to see Teddy work, and you know, and he played it. You know what I'm saying? And I see him play that. You know, when he did the Roger Troutman thing, put the tube in your throat, and all that Listerine bottle. That's crazy. That was insane to see and to watch him just like play. I mean, yeah, like two hands just playing it. You know, looking for mine. I'm like, wow, Teddy is really dope. Teddy is really dope.
No, you beat me to it. So everybody knows what your most popular song is, right? Of course.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song that you've done?
Oh, there was there's two of them. And, one is called Step Up Front. That's like my favorite record. Right. Step Up Front. You're probably going to find it a lot because the label and I kind of split early on, and it kind of like kept the song out of circulation and the video. But it was when I was with First Priority with Milk D and MC Light. That was a big song for me out there. Step Up Front was a real, real big song. It's produced by Grand Poole. And that was a heavy record. That was really big. It was a good street song. And if you listen to I Get Around, Tupac music was one of his favorite songs too. You know, I didn't believe it when he told me, like, get out of here, you know, I was about to Step Up Front. And next thing I know, I heard I Get Around, and I heard Step Up, Step Up. Step up. I'm like,
oh,
you step up.
That's
so
dope.
That's dope.
Yeah. So that was one of his favorites. And then also Premier and Guru used it to Step Up to the Arena, you know. So a lot of people like that record. I still do it in my shows to this day. So it's definitely one of my favorites. I love them all, though, but that's one of my favorites.
And the
what
second
about one that...
Good Combination. Two, maybe. Good Combination is my second favorite. Good Combination. Yeah, that's what I sing. No. The Sonny and Cher parody, the baby. I got you, baby. You know, so. Yeah.
First of all, we all know you were talking about me when you did Black Cinderella. We're just going to clarify that, right? what about a song that you really just didn't care for? If you could just scrap one song or two songs from the catalog, and I know you're not supposed to do that because it's your music, what could you do with that? What song could you just be like, I'm good?
I don't know. What song would that be? Everything that I liked on there was really, I liked it. I liked everything that was kind of on there. I couldn't scrap anything. Only one of it, I would have edited once on a song that they called Friends. It's your fans you gotta worry about. I would have made it a little bit shorter. It was a little too long. I cut it down. You know, I think I probably did an actual four verses at that point. I'd probably edited it down, but I wouldn't have scrapped it. There's nothing I wouldn't have scrapped anything. No.
That's a good answer. He said I'd make one shorter, but I like everything I ever did.
Yeah, I'm not mad at the work at all.
What about?
Is there anybody out? Is there anybody?
Go ahead, Jason.
No, no, you got it. Is there anybody in the market? I'm going. Is there anybody in the market that you feel like you would like to create a song with?
Well, as far as producers go, I would love to have had a chance to work with with Pharrell, you know, as far as a new producer. Premier and I never had a chance to work. I'd have loved to have a chance to work with Premier and do something with him. It just never presented itself, you know. We've always been in the studio together, always seen him. He's like, hey, you know, hey, do me a favor. Give me a little sound bite on the beat he's doing, and I'll do that, you know. But we've never done a song together. I don't know, man. I mean, it's so many people. It's just, you know, I think the people I wanted to do thing, I think I did them with, you know, Kane, Pooba, MC Light. I think people that kind of compliment me, and I kind of like what they did. And I think I did everything I wanted to do with that with everyone so far up to the date, man. As far as these new dudes, like J. Cole and stuff like that, those guys are incredible, you know. But that's just because they're new and they're hot and they're doing what they do. And I respect what they're doing as carrying the culture, you know, on their backs right now. But I don't know. Trying to pick it out. I had to get down to it. Maybe rock him. I probably say, I'm going to do some with rock, you know?
That'd be tight. What about some of the new cats that you would actually listen to? That you would listen to yourself?
I like J. Cole. I like J. Cole. I wish, you know, when I worked with Outkast, I wish I had a chance to do some music with them. When I was doing promotion with them, I wish I had a chance to really cut some records with them. That would have been kind of fun to do. You know, we came a little close for a minute, but that would have been kind of fun to do.
I love them too. That's dope. So what's next for you? So now you're going to, any touring coming on for the music? I know you're doing a lot with the comedy. That's the first question. It's two-parter. Second part is when you're bringing your behind back out to LA, right? And that's the second part in the first part. So what you doing? When are you coming back out of here?
I'll be coming back out here pretty soon. You know, I got to see my boy JT. I should be out there soon. They might be doing some stuff out that way. I'm definitely going to hit Vegas and hit a couple of rooms out there, you know, sling some jokes that direction. And there's supposed to be some dates coming up. They're doing this kind of a Rat Pack thing right now with Peter Guns, myself, Milk D, and Joe Ski. So they got this little thing going on they're trying to do, you know, along with a visual. So we'll see how that pans out. But definitely some dates on the horizon. So you'll definitely see me out there soon. I'll be out there to take you to dinner soon, okay? Don't put the pressure.
Don't promise me a good time. I'm just saying. I don't believe it when I see it. But yeah, so are you focusing more on the comedy or the music or both?
I do a little bit of music every time I do a comedy show. That's why it's a little different. Putting pressure on a lot of comedians. They go out now. They damn near doing rap shows now. You know, because it's not for them to kind of deal with, you know, if you got somebody doing a little bit of performance and then going in and telling some jokes. So, you know, everybody's doing a little something now, you know. But it's fun. It's fun. And I do a little performing at all the comedy shows. So if you come to a comedy show, you definitely going to hear a little vintage positive kick.
I've been thinking about coming out to Georgia, checking you out. You better be funny that day.
Be funny. Oh, again, I need the pressure.
What's that?
I said I need the pressure.
Oh, Lord. All right, Johnny, I know you got some more fan questions.
I'm just in awe of the fact that I'm launching with the great Positive K on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? It's just great that this is just happening, dude. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I appreciate you being here for real, though, because I've been harassing.
Thanks for having me, because you know I don't do podcasts, so you know. This is an anomaly. I don't do podcasts, though.
So. I appreciate the time. Anything new you're working on now in the studio? Anything?
I got a song I just got back from Jesse West that he did for me. And I got a song from this guy named Mark Payne. He just got to me, and I got two songs that's in the slot right now. Play three songs. My cousin LG and I got something. And that's almost done. I haven't got the mix done to it yet. So hopefully I'll be ready to go by top of spring.
I was about to say, your schedule is usually spring, summer. So
that's what you told me.
That's move in shape. That's time for movies and chairs. So everything is growing and blooming right there. You know, you catch that window, you can ride the rest of the year through the summer and the winter. Hello?
Most Def came under some scrutiny recently. He was asked on an interview specifically if he felt like Drake is hip-hop. And so he was being funny style, whatever he was talking about. But the bottom line is he felt like he wasn't. What say you, Positive K, about the musical stylings of Drake? Do you think that Drake causes hip-hop rap?
I'm a writer, you know. I'm a writer, and I've been a writer, and I always said it way back. You know, I always wanted to put a team of writers together to churn out songs for people. You know, I mean, why make an album once a year when you can drop two or three? You know, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna. You know, I mean, the guy has a nice team, nice production together for him, and they're churning it out for him. And the guy, he hasn't had a bad record yet. You know, to this day. So I'm all for it. As a writer, I thought that was one of the best things he could have done, and I'm mad I didn't squeeze the trigger on that a long time ago. I like when people have a good team and a great production crew, because even Kevin Hart with the Plastic Cup Boys, they churning out jokes and writing form. I think that's just an art form, you know. It's art. It doesn't take anything from the artist, you know. But they still get to choose and pick and tweak and fine tune. I think that takes nothing from the artist, man. I think it just increases that, you know what you're doing, and you open up another lane for guys to have a stream of income. So, you know, big shout to the Drake's crew and the Plastic Cup dudes with Kevin Hart that's helping them, you know, do more jokes in a bigger volume. I think it's incredible.
I mean, I think, like, today, content is definitely still king, and there's a need for so much more of it. You'll hear one school of thought say that, oh, everything is oversaturated. But then I get briefs daily, and it's never less than 25 to 30 companies looking for more content. So to speak to your point, I really believe that it's incredible what Drake has been able to accomplish. Coming out of Canada, let's face it, that's not a hotbed for our genre of music, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely not.
He lined himself up with the hottest rapper in the game, which was Lil Wayne at that time.
Michael Jackson's the best guy, probably the best entertainer that we know. And Mike didn't write everything. Whitney Houston, probably one of the best singers, best voices of our time. She didn't write probably none of her stuff. You know, I know there's a lot of rappers out here who are incredible, and they didn't write a lot of this stuff. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, it's because he didn't write the majority of his thing that took away from him being a rapper. Because I think he made a lot of careers, and he helped a lot of people make a lot of hot records. So, you know, I hope that takes away from anybody. You know? Until it's time to do a song with him. Yeah.
So, at this phase in your career, on the music side of it, Drake, he's made appearances with a lot of people who were up and coming, and the appearance from Drake made the difference for a lot of people that we know now. Future is one of those people. Conan, anyone that he's worked with that were new, they established themselves pretty well as a result of having featured. Where are you with the idea of at this phase developing a new act?
If I can find somebody that has the right temperament, patience, you know, it's hard, because when you do that, you gotta manage it. You know, you're a big brother, you know, you're in the count with everything in this individual, you know. It has to be somebody that really, like, this is what I want to do. I think more so would probably be a comedian. I'll probably try to introduce it more or less than a poppy rapper.
Cool. Any more questions, Ms. Amazon?
Not off the top of my head. Honestly, a lot of it's more related to, you know, what you're doing in comedy. I try to follow you as much as I can. I don't see tons of video of you yet.
You've never seen a ton of videos of me. You'll never see a ton of videos of me. I got a lot of stuff that's on YouTube, but I block it all because comedians are thieves, man. Comedians, they steal more than rappers.
True.
Yeah, you know, and they'll never steal the whole thing. Oh, I got a joke just something similar to that. You know, you get that all the time. You know, and that's why going up and even doing your workout during the week is a little rough because, you know, once you do your workout, you got to sit there and listen to what you're doing and be like, you know, you're going to spark fears in people's brains as you work out and you try some new stuff. You're going to spark some ideas, and next thing you know, you're going to hear a joke similar or something down the road like that, you know. So that's what it is, and I never do it. I'll give you a little clip of something on the tail end of something, but right. I never hear the full joke in the full punchline.
No, that makes sense. I know they do. A lot of people don't even allow, like, the cell phones during their shows and stuff like that, and I get why they do that. That makes sense.
Definitely.
That makes sense.
Is there a town that you haven't had a chance to perform your comedy in that you would like to add for your resume?
I haven't been out to the West Coast yet. I need to get out there. I need to get out to the West Coast and see my people out there, Shane Mooney and all those guys. And I need to get back out to the Laugh Factory and Chocolate Sundays and the Comedy Store. I need to get back out there and move around.
Well, you get out here and we'll come and support and check you out, you know.
You got two guaranteed ticket sales right here.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
So the people where folks can connect with you, where people can buy some of that merchandise.
I'm doing an adjustment right now. I used to sell it like through Shopify and through other little outlets, but I'm directing everything straight through PositiveK.com. So I'm getting the site is being worked on now. Should be up in a few weeks. Everything will be going through PositiveK.com. Dates, if you want to get tickets, you want to know where I'm at, you know, the little daily word, everybody will be able to, you know, tune into PositiveK.com and take it from there.
All right, that's the call to action, folks. Go get yourself a ticket to go watch this man, you know, do his thing with the comedy tip. Funny, 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 funny guy.
He's funny.
And I'm not just saying it because that's my boy. Like, he's a funny, funny cat. I mean, listen to the music. He was dropping jokes in the music all along.
He was.
Okay, so grab a ticket or two, you know, two or three drink minimum, you know, ticket bartenders while you're there. And grab a Positive K shirt or sweatshirt or hoodie or cap or whatever he's got on the site. And, you know, and let's keep holding this brother up because, man, he's definitely making contributions for us to be entertained. Whether it's we need something to work out to with the music or we need something to get the traffic to through the music or reality and just got a little too hard and we just need a timeout and need a laugh. So let's make sure that we are supporting Positive K, PositiveK.com. Find this man on all your socials out there. He ain't hard to find. Positive K, Positive K, Positive K. But I mentioned you need to make sure that we are supporting Positive K. Let's
sure
get out here and do this. You know what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure you said Positive K. Right.
And it sounds like we're going to get some new Positive K music spring, summer. So, you know, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat waiting for that. You got any people you want to do any shout outs to? I don't know if that's taking it back too far to the 90s, but we're going to do that anyway.
Man. I just, you know, like I do with my records, man. Big shout out to my mom and my dad. You know?
That's right.
Well, just thank you. Thank you for making time for us, but mostly for me. I appreciate it. I know you got things to do. Johnny always does his little spiels and speeches and such at the end of our podcast, the other one we do. Please behave yourself, Johnny Taylor, at the end of this one. We do have a special guest on today. So we're having none of that today.
I'll behave. Yeah. I got act right. I've been very well behaved today.
I will say right? You did very well, but it's not over yet. So go ahead. And I know you. Go ahead and do your little wrap up thing you do. And Paz, thank you so much. I really appreciate you making time. I really do.
Hey, thanks for having me on Plugnetic. I appreciate it now.
Thank you right, so much.
Make sure I will make sure we get you some punk gimmick stuff. Get you some shirts. Get you a cap or something like that. So I'll make sure to take care of you.
I just remembered. So you are the motivation for my hip hop shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I drew it after I saw you on stage, and if you look at the shirt that Johnny rocks all the time, it's your hat. It's the hat and the microphone. And that design came from seeing you on stage when you came out to California.
Okay, I want my
I will send you one. It's the cap and the mic, and it popped in my head after seeing you, and I drew it out like the very next day. So you literally motivated a design that's on my shirt, so now I got to send it to you. Anyway, sorry, I just remembered that. Johnny, go ahead. Wrap us up.
Man, I don't know how else we can fill this man's cup. More positivity. I like to thank Positive K for coming through and hanging out with us for our premiere episode of the Punkdemic Podcast for the Amazon Punkdemic LLC. This is MC Johnny T, Hip Hop Organics, and we are signing off. Until next time.
All right.